Okay.
Lisa, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I wasn't able to hear anyone else.
Okay.
Looking at my settings.
We're going to get started here. It's Tuesday, April 18th. I'd like to call the Policy and Strategy Committee meeting to order and begin by acknowledging that we're in the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. So we need an approval of... do we have any announcements, acknowledgements, or recognitions? Mayor Balibrigetson?
Yes, I would like to take a moment to acknowledge that April 18th and 19th is the third anniversary of the worst mass shooting in Canadian history. There are no words to explain or to try to make any sense out of the tragic event that occurred in Portapique. We are reminded of the sacrifices made every day by those working on the front lines, our police officers, paramedics, firefighters, hospital staff, 911 call takers, dispatchers, essential service providers, and more. Thank you to all the first responders who answered the call to assist in these horrific crime scenes and to your families. God bless you and all for continuing to keep Nova Scotians safe. To the families left behind, thoughts and prayers are with you. The Premier has asked that Nova Scotians pause for a moment of silence today at noon and again on Wednesday to remember the 22 people killed. I'd like us to observe a minute of silence now, so please stand. Thank you.
You're good. Okay. Are there any other announcements, acknowledgments, or recognition? Okay. Then we will look for the approval of the agenda. Pardon me?
I'd like to add an item.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
I would like to add an item to the agenda under Section 11, in camera, contract negotiations. Under Section 22.2E of the MGA.
Okay, so we need an approval of the agenda with the addition.
So moved.
Councillor Moore, second. By Councillor Haysom. All those in favour? Motion passed unanimously. So no approval of the minutes?
No.
Okay. So we have a presentation from Lunenburg County Seniors Safety Program. David Murdaugh, Chair of Lunenburg County Senior Safety Partner Society, and Lisa Bennett, Senior Safety Coordinator, Lunenburg County. So, David, if you're ready.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good morning. As you've already mentioned, I'm Chair of the Lunenburg County Senior Safety Partnership Society, and I'd like to introduce Lisa, our coordinator, our new coordinator. And I'd like to thank the mayor and members of the municipality of the District of Lunenburg Council for having us here today. And we appreciate this opportunity to speak to you about our program's latest accomplishments. So I'll pass it over to Lisa.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone, and appreciate the time to share space with us to let you know what we're up to. I joined the program in October, and I come with a background of working with diverse families with a network of community resources. Next slide, please. Thank you. So we're continuing with what works well. We are continuing with the home visits, connecting folks with or older adults with the resources in the community, letting them know what's available so they can access what is needed for them. So that's an individual thing, looking at our core services and how we're delivering them and adapting to the changes in the community as we see them. Helping to identify gaps is another part of what we're trying to do so that we can bring those gaps or what we're noticing to the individuals that we pertain to. System navigation is a big part of what Lunenburg County Senior Safety Program does. Sometimes it's because of literacy levels, sometimes it's because of internet access, or just not understanding how a system works. So looking at all of those pieces and helping to streamline the processes so people can access the services that are important to them. Another big part of what we're doing is empowering older adults with information through workshops and presentations. So to know what's out there and how to protect yourself, with fraud and scams, it's looking at best practices and having the best information available. We've so far done a variety of, next slide, please, sorry. Thank you. So far in January, we started with an ask from Riverport Community Center with a presentation on fraud prevention and scams. Wonderful turnout. We had, I think it was 68 people show up for that event. It was wonderful. We've been collaborating with the Better Business Bureau and RCMP, providing presentations on senior safety in a variety of communities, including the Bank of Montreal in Mahone Bay, Souls Harbor. We did a pop-up there. And most recently, we did a presentation with Constable Upshaw at the Chester Basin Legion, with a turnout of about 26 people, which was a great, great give and take of communication of what they felt, what seniors felt as being of concern to them and what they've been noticing with the type of scams that they're being connected with or trying to prevent themselves from happening. Next slide, please. We're also continuing with the Vial of Life program, which is very important for those who may not know what it is. It's a vial that is donated by PharmSave, or one of the PharmSaves in Lunenburg County. There's a sticker on the vial that says Vial of Life, and then there's a sticker that goes on the door. That sticker lets first responders know that the vial is inside the fridge, the fridge door. The top shelf of the fridge door is where the vial is kept. In that vial is the personal information of the individual in the home that is on medication, has a diagnosis of severity that they feel that needs to be known if in case of an emergency. They can also put in their first, they can also put in the next of kin, who to contact, personal directives, power of attorney, their medications, and their allergies. This is a key place that to keep all that information so that first responders, when they come in and they see the sticker on the fridge door, they can take that vial and look at it and see if there is something that is pertinent to the care and treatment of the person that they've come to respond to. Next slide, please. We are also updating our helping tree. Predecessor Chris did a wonderful job in pulling this together. It has it's a mound full of resources that are in Lunenburg County, and it's astonishing what is available out here. It's a living entity. Things change. So as things change, we need to adjust and update the information. So we're in the process of streamlining that information and looking at the font, making it bigger, more accessible for individuals. Next slide, please. So we're also looking at building a toolkit for seniors in regards to mental health. There are specific challenges that seniors, older adults face as they age, and that affects their mental health. Looking at what is available now and creating a package that would be very accessible or easily accessible off of our website and our Facebook page will allow easy access to those coping strategies, how to stay mentally healthy, and what resources are here specifically locally that they can access and how to access them. This is being brought together through research and development with the help of the grant from Nova Scotia Health and Wellness. Next slide, please. We are also in the finishing touches of our Home Management Navigator book. So this book is much like the Vial of Life. The sticker that has been designed will go on the fridge door to let first responders know that the book is being kept on top of the fridge. It contains much of what the Vial of Life does, but it takes it a step further. It takes it several steps further. Inside, for first responders, there are locations of where the shutoff valve is or where a fire extinguisher is. This book is also helpful for things like anyone who is helping an individual in a time of need. So someone's gone into a hospital for surgery, or they've become incapacitated at home and they can't run their home the way they normally would. This book streamlines the processes. So when's your garbage pickup? What are your bills? What is your bill paying schedule? How do you pay your bills? Plus, with the help of Remo, we've been able to add on an emergency preparedness piece. So being a senior, being an older adult, there are other unique challenges to preparing for the event of an emergency. So there's a section in the book that allows you to identify your specific needs and what your specific emergency preparedness plan is. Next slide, please. And that's kind of what we're up to, keeping up with best practices. We really thank you for your time and your continued support and active participation on our board. We couldn't do what we do without you.
Excellent. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. Councillor Hazem?
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you so much. Thank you for the presentation. I'm really interested in the helping tree document that you have. It seems like something that would be super useful for all sorts of people and service providers and counselors as well. Is that something that we would be able to access and share?
Absolutely. It's currently on our website. So you can download it there under resources. And when we have the updated version, we'll, of course, update it onto the website.
Lisa, does that have a date on it so that when it is updated, then people can be informed and that make sure they have the right version?
I think what we can, yeah, we'll put a date onto it, but I think what we'll also do is put a title onto it, new version or updated version or something along that lines when we put it on the site.
Okay, perfect. Mayor Bellavergetson?
Thank you, and thank you for the service that you're providing to our seniors in our communities. Are we able to keep up with the amount of calls that we're getting? I know that you get a lot of referrals from the different police departments, and just wondering with the staff complement, are we able to keep up with the demand for the service, the need in our community?
There is a great need. And we are keeping up so far. And I say so far because with the preventative pieces of workshops and presentations, that enables capacity, building capacity within the seniors themselves so that they can know how to access and streamline. There's a lot of collaboration that goes on with within the community, whether it's continuing care, Nova Scotia Health Authority, St. Vincent de Paul. And by connecting people, we're all taking a piece of the pie and working as a team. So it's when I do presentations, I say we because it's not just me. It's the support staff here at the police station. It's folks at the RCMP detachments that are doing their bits and pieces to help support the whole program. It's not just one person.
And supplementary.
And sorry, we should also mention that we do have a part-time coordinator that supports, works with Lisa now.
Yes. Sorry, I forgot her.
And supplementary, if I could, when you speak of the presentations, are you doing those presentations online only, or are you back out in the communities now doing presentations?
It's actually a little bit of both. So CARP reached out and asked if I would help with a presentation just a week ago. So that was online because it was for the Nova Scotia memberships. And I believe that presentation is on their website now. Mainly it's in person.
Okay.
The pop-ups have been very, I've had really good turnouts at the pop-ups. So we were at our health center, BMO Bank in Mahone Bay, Souls Harbor. Those were the pop-ups so far, but we've done with Constable Upshaw several presentations, and I've done a couple on my own as well in the community.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Oiko, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just wondering whether or not you have a hard copy available to your seniors of your tree as well.
Of the helping tree? Yes. Yeah.
So
on every visit, I present the helping tree. I make a couple of adjustments if it's not pertaining to them, and highlight things that so it's easy for them to find the things that they're looking for. And in some instances, I even write that over on a specific sheet if they need it in a larger font. Yes, it's very accessible to them. I bring it to them in hard copy. I bring it to the presentations, and it's online.
Do you have any questions or comments anymore? Okay, I don't see any. So thank you very much for your time. Appreciate the presentation.
Thank you so
much. Thank you. We really appreciate the opportunity and your continued support.
Thank you. Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. We're good to continue. Okay, so we are going to move down to 9.1.1, Nova Scotia Active Smarter Kids Project Update, and it's Britt Bengtson. Awesome. Okay. Thanks.
Oh, can I? Ooh. Do you want to? Because we can. What? Yeah? Well, depends on how much we want to wake
Very
up.
Competitive.
Do I need to join the Teams meeting from this computer? No? Okay. It's coming slowly, it seems. Not showing up on your screens. I'm also curious why this document won't open.
Is that your presentation?
It is, but there's also a video link that I had shared.
All right.
I'm just going to pull open. Bless you. Sorry, everybody, the video link that I had saved is not showing up on the stick. So if you just bear with me, I'm going to find that because I'd like to show you what ASK looks like in school, and the best way to do it is with this video. So we're almost there. And that was very loud. Why is it the computers don't work when everybody's watching you? I'm sorry. I really don't understand. Okay, there it is. Okay. Now I don't see the slide. No, it's gone. This is why I like low-tech presentations. Usually we're running around. We are, but oh, there it is. Great. Awesome. How's that audio? Is that okay? Okay. Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here to present to you a bit of an update on what the Nova Scotia Active Smarter Kids project has been up to in the last 3 years. So it was 3 years ago that we were here, which is wild to think about. It was during your orientation time, and I remember we did lots of fun physically active learning here in council chambers. I hadn't planned to do one this morning, but if there is a desire to get up and move, I'm certainly happy to make that happen. But I leave that up to you folks. I don't know. Was that a yes?
It's a yes from Michelle.
It's a yes from Michelle.
No?
Okay, we have some no's. All right. Stick around afterwards and we can have some fun. How about that? All right, but I'd like to start by acknowledging that we are in Mi'kma'ki, which is the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. This territory is covered by the treaties of peace and friendship, which Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy people first signed with the British Crown in 1726. Safe and happy learning environments in school are a right for all students, not a privilege for some. The UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples state this clearly. The negative impacts of the residential school system across generations and across Canada
stand as a stark reminder of the injustices of the education systems in this country and serve as a call to action. The Nova Scotia Ask Project acknowledges that our practices and methods are founded in colonial ways of knowing and thinking about physical activity, learning, and play. But we endeavor to work in open and authentic collaboration with Mi'kmaq communities to build relationships built on reciprocity, safety, and trust. Part of what this project can contribute to the process of reconciliation is sharing the skill sets and methods that we have developed over the past 5 years. If desired, we will work together with Mi'kmaq communities to co-create a physically active learning methodology that honors and incorporates the wisdom and experience of Mi'kmaq ways of learning and playing. In doing so, we seek to help co-create healthy, playful, and engaged learning opportunities that are culturally safe and appropriate for all learners. If not, we will seek other ways to contribute. This work is guided by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's 10th call to action in the domain of education. Working towards reconciliation in this country is an immense task, but perhaps as treaty people, if we all take small, effective steps in the right direction, we can collectively begin to move the dial. And everyone here is invited to participate in this important work. So by means of a quick update, this is a very kind of important pillar of the Nova Scotia Ask Project as we've been going forward. And very recently, I was invited by a colleague who is the Mi'kmaq Student Coordinator in the Chignecto Central Regional Center for Education to collaborate to take physically active learning and to incorporate the Mi'kmaq Seven Sacred Teachings into physically active learning lessons for implementation in schools across the region and provincially. So stay tuned for that. That's an exciting development. I've also been working with the MK education system in Member 2 to look at ways of incorporating treaty education into these physically active learning lessons across the province. So that's an exciting pillar of this work. So just by way of a reminder, what are we talking about when we talk about the Nova Scotia Active Smarter Kids Project? This is now a provincially run project to initiate and train the training and support for teachers with physically active learning. Just by way of a reminder as well, physically active learning involves classroom teachers taking a curriculum outcome that they know their students need to review. So it could be something in English language arts, it could be core French, it could be math, sciences. And they incorporate into the review of that subject area a fun, physically active, very simple game. You can remember when we were here last, we were using beanbags to spell words. We've done relay races, that sort of thing. So nothing about this is complex. It's very, very simple in how it is implemented, but kind of complex in the impacts that it has and the benefits for learning and teaching. We're now into project year 5. I've got some slides that will take you back to the beginning in a couple of minutes, but right now, just to say that this is year 5 of implementation of this project, which equals year 3 of kind of provincial reach with the work. We are currently here in the MODL 1.5 years into a 3-year funding commitment from the Nova Scotia Department of Communities, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage, and the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development. So the way this works is all funding for the project comes through MODL in order to administer 2 positions. So we have my position, the Nova Scotia Ask Project Lead, which is a full-time position, and we have 1 80% full-time equivalent position, which is my coordinator, Mary Fahy, that comes out of that fund, and then additional project expenses come out of that $150,000 that comes through the municipality each year. This funding commitment is due to end at the end of August of 2024. So there's currently work happening provincially to figure out the future of the Ask Project. Where does it sit? Who will host it? How does it continue its work going forward? So before we get back to this little seed, which is where we all began in Modal, I'm just going to remind folks of what Ask looks like in a school. And what I'm going to do is take you over to... we just have a short 4-minute video. This was filmed back in 2020 when we were coming back to school and schools were really looking for ways to implement outdoor learning. So it was a good chance for the Ask Project to begin really working with schools provincially. This video was originally made as a 12-minute video, but our friends at Communications Nova Scotia pared it down for us. They're great. So it's 4 minutes. It's going to take you into the day in the life of a school that implements physically active learning. You're going to hear from some teachers, an administrator, and some students about what it means to be involved in these types of lessons. and hopefully our audio works. So let's see.
That fresh air really helps you pay more attention to what you're doing.
International research has demonstrated that physically active learning effectively increases students' physical activity within the school day, while also positively affecting time on task, academic achievement, and sense of enjoyment of school.
When you're inside, you get fresh air, and that helps my brain focus.
We knew that with the purpose of getting outside more with the pandemic, we figured this is perfect timing, so we made that a priority for our PD, or professional development, with our staff.
Right now, we can't move around the classroom like we were able to in the past, and I think what it's done is it's given us a push to really mold ourselves around everything that's going on in the world right now and try to kind of push through it, and it's been a real motivator because I see that the children need to be moving.
Nova Scotia Ask is about challenging teachers to be reflexive about their teaching practice and think outside of the box about what makes up appropriate spaces for learning. And what kinds of activities can create engaging and active learning opportunities for all students. Teachers are the experts in curricula and in the needs of their students.
Be gentle with yourself. Keep it simple for the first few, and know that if you chat with your grade level teachers, that's usually when your brain starts to turn on. Say, okay, this lesson would be great, but how can we bring it outside? What do we need to do? What materials can we make to make that happen? Whenever we're planning anything, we always have to keep in mind that there are students who learn differently and who need different things. So that there's absolutely no difference for when we're coming outside. We have to be thinking about things, behaviors, and just differing abilities.
I do like them because they're fun and they make you learn.
And it's easier to think when you're outside.
They ask me if we're going to do an ask lesson when they come in. And when they find out we're going, then they just turn on. Everything lights up. They become alive. They just come alive when they come out and they're just ready to rock.
Nova Scotia Ask lessons consist of a flexible blend of physical and academic challenge so that teamwork is optimized and all students who participate can experience success.
When you do the group stuff, it feels like you're combining your minds together.
Everybody's a winner here. Everybody learned something. Everybody's getting some exercise. There's really no winner or loser, and it kind of helps them, I think, to understand that we're all working together for a common goal.
I would say the culture of the school has definitely been enhanced by being involved with ASK, and it took a whole team to be able to make that happen.
You get exercise, and your heart is pumping, and it doesn't matter if you win or lose.
The more time has gone on, the more I'm feeling more comfortable with it, and actually kind of getting more excited about it.
One of my goals this year was to try to be more culturally responsive in my classroom by integrating technology, and integrating the outside learning has really helped with that.
We're all moving. Some are moving quicker than others with it, but everybody is moving with it, and the conversation around it has been really positive with staff, students, and even our families.
I find it really fun because it gets your blood pumping. You can run around the whole thing and you can just do math really quickly. I find math really fun, so it's just great. All around great.
It probably has enhanced the relationship between the teachers, the staff, and our students as well. It feels that way when you watch it. I think it benefits everybody who's involved in it. The kids need to be more active. There's just no other way around it. They need to be engaged, and if you can bridge the learning with the physical activity, then you've got magic happening in a school.
Pretty fun. I enjoy seeing. Oh, my mic's not on.
Should I try now? Great. There we go. Thanks for watching the video. That's Enfield District School. It's kind of one of our champion schools, located pretty close to the airport. But there's lots of really neat work happening up in the region. Something I love about the video is it brings to light just how adaptive and inclusive these lessons are. This is physical activity. These are lessons that happen primarily outdoors. But through adaptations and the work of the teachers, we're always able to find a way for everyone to participate in the lesson. And what really comes through for me there, too, is the joyful nature of this. We hear this a lot when we ask students about what they like about ASK lessons, and they tell us that it makes them want to come to school. So if school can be a fun place that really kind of speaks to them as the joyful, moving humans that they are, then this is one of, if there's one thing that comes out of this, is that's my primary hope, is that kids begin to feel a sense of belonging and a sense of joy when they're in school, because I think that's a very transformative opportunity for all of our young people. So going back to the very beginning, just by way of a reminder, in 2018, this was a little seed that got planted here in the MODL, and with the support of everyone in this room. I had the good fortune of going off to Norway to look at how physically active learning or physical activity is incorporated into school days there, and came upon this very teaching method. Came back, wrote a really long report, which you can read because it's on the website. It's a good reading for a Friday night, where we really kind of dug into it here in the MODL. So working with the teachers at Newcombville Elementary School, as well as Blue Nose Academy, we wanted to see if this Norwegian teaching method was A, feasible in the Nova Scotia education setting, and desirable. This is something that teachers and students experienced benefits from. So we planted that little seed in 2018, and here we are 5 years later, and the reach from this project has grown exponentially. I'll take you there in a few minutes, but all that to say that we're implementing ASK at schools in every single one of the regional centers for education across the province. There are seven. We're also working with the Acadian School District as well, the CSAP schools, as well as the Mi'kmaq education system, and now branching out into post-secondary education as well. So that little seed that grew here in Modal really grew. Now, usually when you plant a seed in the ground, you water it, you make sure it has sunshine, maybe some fertilizer. But the ASK seed was, we dealt with it a little bit different. And here's kind of the key factors that led to this plant growing into what it's become. Evidence was our number one thing. Everything that we've done with this project has been grounded in international research, looking at the implementation science of physically active learning in schools. So what works well, what doesn't work well, who you need to have on side, i.e. the administrators, how to align this with policy to make sure that this is something that works for teachers, and how to train them well. So that evidence has really guided this work. Evaluation has been key. Every year we want to look at what has been the impact of this work, and the evaluation really guides how we're moving forward. Engaging professional development has been another part of this piece. Turns out physically active learning is super fun, and it is a teaching tool that really speaks to teachers as well as to students. So through developing these engaging professional development modules and sessions, we've been able to reach a broad audience. A crucial part of this work, too, has been aligning physically active learning with provincial physical activity and educational policies. I'll take you there in a few minutes as well. And I think our key factor in the growth of our little seed has been time. We've had the time it's taken to build this thing well. This is a large project now. There's a lot of human resources that are working on this project. The infrastructure is quite developed. And because we've had so much time to work on this and dedicate our attention to this, this is why the little seed from the MODL has grown into this big, beautiful tree. At least that's the way I see it. So the way the ASK project is running now, as you can see, it's pretty much in full bloom. We're working now, as I mentioned before, with every one of the regional centers for education, and it continues to grow. So part of the, one of the branches of our tree is providing schools with professional development and ongoing support. This is a big part of the work. We don't go into schools, provide them with a good idea, point them at some resources and say, good luck, see you next time. That's not what we do. We continue to maintain a relationship with schools going forward. So at any point in time, an administrator could reach out to the project and say, we're interested in having you come back. Teachers are struggling with X, Y, and Z. How can you support them? So we can go back to a school and provide ongoing implementation support seminars and outreach, which really supports the teachers in making the change towards incorporating this kind of playful teaching method into their teaching practice. I mentioned before the human infrastructure related to this project. I'm just going to take you forward so you can see what it looks like, and then I'll take you back for a minute. The way this works is we have 7 regional centers for education, and now we have 7 corresponding ASK support teams supporting the work of what the teachers are doing in the schools in those regions. These regional teams are made up from staff from the Nova Scotia Health Authority, primarily school health promoters. We also have staff from education on these regional support teams. In many places, they're instructional coaches. So those are teachers who have left teaching in the classroom to teach teachers themselves. And they're involved in supporting the work that's happening in training the teachers and supporting them in the schools. We have municipal staff from recreation departments on each of these regional teams. And they're primarily involved as trainers. So we have a large facilitation crew now. I've been working to train staff to become facilitators to provide these training seminars within their regions. This is way beyond the work of one person now. So the municipal staff who are involved are primarily being trained to go and deliver these training within their school systems. And so we have each of those teams, we meet on a 6-week rotation. So we have constant collaboration and connection with the work that's happening within the regions as well. So there are about 51 staff members who are supporting this work. And the reason they can do this is because ASK aligns with their job descriptions and the mandates of their positions, whether they're working in education, health promotion, or recreation as well. So it's a large team. Everyone's very committed and passionate about this work, and so it's always a pleasure to be working with those staff across the province. There are also provincial staff involved on those teams as well, from communities, culture, tourism, and heritage, and in some cases, the Department of Education. Another key part of this work, I mentioned capacity building. Again, this is beyond the work of one trainer. So we're certainly working to build more capacity in the regions, and I'll show you a little bit about that in a minute. Outreach is a big part of this. People love to hear about the Active Smarter Kids project, and there's been lots of great opportunities for outreach, both provincially, nationally, and now internationally, and I'll show you that in a few minutes as well. Post-secondary education and training in physically active learning has become a part of this work in the last 2 years. Personally, one of my favorite parts of this work is working with BED students in some of the institutions that are training our future teachers here in Nova Scotia. And we've been developing resources. So we have a great website that's offered now both in English and French. And a key part of that website is a database of lesson plans, which teachers actually contribute to. So we're looking at crowdsourcing our resources so that teachers, as they develop these lessons, are actually sharing back to the project the work that they're doing. And it's kind of a two-way street. So the way that we understand everybody involved in this work, whether they're a teacher in the classroom, an administrator in the school, or at a regional center for education, is everybody's contributing collectively to moving this project forward as we go. So it's quite big. Alignment with provincial strategies and frameworks in education and physical activity, this has been really key to this. Inside of my little rainbow onion there, we're looking at different policies that impact students when they're in schools. So a curriculum would be the provincial policy that really impacts how a child spends their day at school. And when we dug into this in the early days of the project, we learned that the Department of Education asks teachers to deliver something called physically active time. And that's slated to be 50 minutes of additional physical activity across a school week. Teachers can break it up into 10-minute chunks per day or do it in a bigger block. But what we found is when we trained teachers to teach physically active learning lessons, they were able to tick the box on meeting that goal and in some cases exceeding it for delivering that physically active time to their students while also having them review key curriculum outcomes that they really needed to work on. So that was kind of a key strategy. When we look at, I'm going to move up to the regional level. So each of the RCEs have a system improvement plan. And system improvement plans look at setting goals for the region related to numeracy and literacy development for their students, as well as wellness. Well, the wonderful thing about physically active learning is that we can tick all of these boxes. We can use physically active learning to review concepts in mathematics and literacy. So we're going to help kind of move students towards those regional goals that they're setting, but also from a wellness perspective. This is an opportunity to give kids a chance to move within the school day so we can kind of move towards social, emotional wellness as well. And by way of an example, the Strait Regional Center for Education, which comprises kind of Antigonish all the way up to Pleasant Bay,
they decided this year that they wanted to incorporate ASC and physically active learning into their system improvement plan, which is the first time we've had an RCE take this from being kind of more of a ground-up approach to more of a top-down approach. And with that alignment, what came was the kind of mandate for my team in the regional center to train every school in the region within the school year. So that's the first RCE, and kudos to them, that has seen training for every teacher in every school across the region. So we see that this is working and that folks are really buying in to this work. At the provincial level, which is our yellow layer there, inclusive education policy, ASC aligns strongly with that. We have something called multi-tiered systems of support, which looks at different ways that we're supporting students. Tier one refers to whole class instruction, where we can find innovative ways of teaching that support students who learn in different ways. ASC is strongly aligned as a tier one multi-tiered system of support for learners. There's so many ways that students gain benefits from being involved in physically active learning, whether they're a kinesthetic learner and they need to move in order to express their learning, or whether they're a human who just needs to move more in order to focus. This is one of the ways that we're really seeing support for this teaching method.
We have a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
Mayor Bellaver-Getson?
Yes.
So back to the schools, 67 schools.
Yes, it's actually 73. I needed to update myself.
Okay, yeah. So how many schools are there in Nova Scotia?
I can't answer that right off the
top. So I guess, are these just elementary schools, or are they middle schools, are they junior high?
Yeah.
Any high schools involved in this?
We've started with elementary, so we started with grade 5 here in Newcombville and Munoz, and we've expanded around that. Those grade levels, that was targeted because that's when we start to see physical activity levels dropping off for students. So originally, the beginning years of the project, we were focused more in kind of upper elementary, but now year 5, and we have quite a few high schools signing up for training as well as junior highs. So the Strait, as I gave that example earlier, they've trained every school, which includes senior high, and we're starting to see junior high come on board as well as some other high schools in other parts of the province. So it's happening across the board. Yeah. Oh, go ahead,
Councillor Greig.
Thank you. On the 73 schools that you say are trained, that means those are the 73 schools you've gone to, or if you 3 years ago you were here at this school and then that teacher has now gone to that school and implementing in that school, is that included in the 73 schools?
We don't track the movement of teachers.
Okay.
I wish we could, but it's amazing. And that's one of the reasons it's interesting to watch. If you think of kind of like a rhizome, these plants that kind of grow underground and pop up in different places, we're definitely hearing about the pop-up effect of teachers moving between schools. But 73 represents the schools we've actually been in to deliver training to. Yeah.
Okay, you can continue.
Okay, great. So just going back to this, the large community of practice that are supporting this, we have trained to date over 1,500 teachers across the province in those 73 schools. So it continues to grow. We've got more seminars coming up this year, and it is a project that just seems to keep growing and growing. So I mentioned this before, and this is really key to this, is that we offer responsive professional development. It's really hard to work in schools. Their schedules are so tight. There's very little opportunity to provide professional development to teaching staff. A lot of the times the regional centers have set the schedules for what teachers are going to be learning on their professional development days. So in some cases we've been able to provide longer seminars to schools on those PD days. But a lot of what this looks like is finding time during staff meetings or after school hours to work with staff on this and coming back for that follow-up implementation support. Again, that's a super key part of this, is we don't want to provide a really good idea and then disappear. We want to be there to support them. One of the ways that we do professional implementation support is by co-facilitating lessons with teachers. So oftentimes one of my facilitators will be at a school for a whole day. The teachers will sign up with a schedule to say, I'm teaching from 9 to 10 o'clock math, and then the facilitator will help facilitate that outdoor active lesson, reviewing that outcome. So it's very much a co-creation process. And that really helps kind of scaffold the learning for teachers who might need a little bit more support. Not everybody's comfortable going outside, and we need to recognize this, and this is one of the ways that we can do that. When we talk to teachers about their experiences with the professional development seminars, we often hear things like this. It was hands down the most
the best and most useful PD I've ever attended. That was a junior high teacher in 2021. And we've often talked to principals about what they're seeing after we've been in a school doing the training. And one vice principal told us this. I think the biggest thing I'm hearing is just how often teachers are using ASK lessons. I know there was a lot of excitement for it after your PD session, and that really hasn't changed. And that's really good for us to hear, that implementation isn't just something that's fun, is kind of around the nexus of the training session and then drops off. This continues for many teachers going forward, which is super important that this is sustainable. So why are we doing this? Why ask? Why now? I don't know if anybody saw the 2022 participation scores for childhood, youth, and child and youth physical activity, but the numbers are a little bit scary. So this is a national survey that's done looking at the sedentary behavior of our children and youth as well as their physical activity. And in 2022, only 28% of Canadian 5 to 17-year-olds were meeting our physical activity targets. And that's stated at 60 minutes per day of moderate to vigorous physical activity. So that's the point where if you were jogging next to somebody, it might be hard for you to speak. That level of physical activity is what we're talking about. And this is just to maintain kind of a baseline health goal. So 28% of our kids met that goal, and that represented an 11% drop from 2020. And we all know probably what contributed to that. It was the pandemic. It had a very serious impact on how children were moving in the world. When we look specifically within the teaching day, and we think about the fact that most of our children spend time in public institutions, we find that standard teacher-led lessons contribute to around 7 to 8 hours of sedentary time per day. So school is a major contributing factor to sedentary time in children and youth. And another piece of evidence that we were using for this work is students here in the South Shore Regional Centre for Education reported a very low sense of belonging in school when we looked at the students' student success surveys. So these are surveys that go out annually. Students fill them out inside of a classroom. And when we were looking specifically at the data from 2018, we saw students saying, you know, school isn't really my place. I don't feel like I belong here. So we wanted to see, can we increase students' sense of belonging? Can we get students moving more if we incorporate movement right into their classrooms? When we look at the broad scale evidence for physically active learning and why it works, we know from the international research that daily physical activity is positively impacted by participation in physically active lessons, and we see that it has a positive impact on academic-related outcomes, things like academic achievement and classroom behavior, so time on task and focus. And I think perhaps, you know, most importantly, when I think about this from a quality of life experience, it increases student overall mood and sense of enjoyment in school. So there's a lot of there's strong rationale for us to continue doing this. And not only students, but also teachers as well. When we talk to teachers about what it's like to teach a physically active learning lesson and what they notice in their students, we hear this quite a lot. We hear evidence like this. So this was a teacher last year who shared that having students look forward to practicing skills is amazing in and of itself, but to also expose them to fresh air, movement, and teamwork is a win all around. Students who are reluctant participants in the classroom or whole group instruction become active, animated, and participate fully in our ASK lessons. The at-risk students benefit the most as they gain confidence, develop leadership skills, and practice concepts that they typically shy away from. So this is a reflection that we hear a lot, that students who don't excel inside of the classroom environment have an opportunity to show what they know, to find themselves in positions of leadership, in a learning method that's much different from what's happening in the classroom. So the possibility of this for those at-risk students is something that, you know, really drives us to continue with this work. Is can we find a way for school to kind of meet the needs of more of our students as opposed to those who do really well in a seated academic environment? When we look at Active Smarter Kids in the MODL, so this is the fifth year that we've been working with schools here in the MODL, and we have worked with 8 schools within the municipality of the District of Lunenburg, as well as the French school. It didn't lump into my brain in the same category, but that is in the MODL. The only school that we haven't worked with yet here in the MODL is Tancook, and I have goals of getting out there this spring to work with that one-room school because I think it would be a great opportunity, especially where they have multiple grades and they would have older students working with younger. So hopefully that is something we can arrange this spring. We did some evaluation with teachers who are teaching at schools in the South Shore Regional Center for Education last year. I wanted to understand what the stickiness of ASK was. So if you're a teacher and you've done this training, what happens to you in the coming years? Is this something that sticks, or is it something that falls to the wayside? The survey was administered to, it was 10 teachers, not a huge sample size, but 8 people did respond, and 100% of those 8 people said that they continued with ASK lessons 4 years after their training. To different levels of implementation. Some teachers were saying, yeah, I do it once or twice a month, and that's great, that's something. And to a couple of teachers saying, I do this every day. So we know it works, which is great. If we go back to that tree image, one of the biggest parts of the puzzle right now is capacity building. We need to expand our capacity to keep up with the demand from schools across the province, because we don't know the exact number of schools, but there's a lot of them. So I've developed a train-the-trainer model in which we're training facilitators to be available in their regions to provide this training to schools. I've trained 26 humans from the world of education, health promotion, and the Nova Scotia Health Authority, and municipal recreation, as well as the Provincial Department of Communities, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage since 2021. And we use a scaffolding approach, so they're never just trained and turned out on their own. We like to co-facilitate a couple of seminars and then hand on the baton. So it's great to have ASK-trained humans in the regions really jumping up and doing this work in the schools in their regions. It's really helping meet the demand. And I actually have a seminar running this week. It starts the day after tomorrow, where we'll have 18 more future ASK facilitators trained and ready to go across the province. Most excitingly for me, 2 of those people are 2 of Canada's experts on child physical activity and healthy development, 2 professors from the School of Health and Human Performance at Dalhousie. So they're a huge boon to the project because they know this stuff inside and out. Post-secondary partnerships has been a big part of what I've been up to in the last year and a half, and this to me is really exciting. I received an invitation to provide training to BED students at Mount St. Vincent starting in 2021. So they have now 3 cohorts of young people training to become teachers, and it's really neat because right from the get-go, we are training them in physically active learning so that they understand that this is a feasible and desirable teaching method that they can use in their teaching practice. I've trained 150 BED students at Mount St. Vincent in the last 2 academic years, and then we'll be going up to Cape Breton at the end of May to start working with students in the BED program at Cape Breton University as well. One of the neat anecdotal stories about the impact of that work is I was at a school in Halifax recently training some staff, and one of the teachers said to me, "The only reason I'm here is because my practicum student from the Mount came and said she wanted to teach a physically active lesson to my class." She's like, "I had no idea what it was, but I gave her the permission to go ahead and do it, and we did a relay race outside reviewing." I can't remember what the outcome was, but the teacher was just like, "Wow, I've never seen the kids this engaged," and it was very impressive. So we even have, you know, university students impacting and influencing the practical professional behavior of teachers in schools through this, so that's exciting. The other big university-level partnership that we have now is with Dalhousie, with the School of Health and Human Performance. So we have a PhD student named Julie Campbell who's working with Sarah Moore and Michelle Stone and working on her PhD. She's actually, through that work, we're setting up a provincial evaluation framework to understand the impact of ASK at a provincial level on student physical activity levels across the province, as well as she's really keen to look at the impact of participation in physically active learning on the development of physical literacy in students. So does participation in physically active learning lessons impact students' level of competence, physical competence, and confidence to be active across their life? So that's an exciting development as well. So stay tuned. Field research is due to start next spring moving forward. And finally, resources. I mentioned this before. We needed a repository to put all the resources that we've been developing for teachers, as well as an opportunity for teachers to contribute to that resource. So the website is www.nsaskproject.ca. If you'd like to take a tour around there, there's lots to look at and read. I think the database is the most interesting thing. I mentioned before that it's crowdsourced. So teachers can withdraw lesson plans from that database, but they can also contribute to it. And it's always so satisfying to receive notification that a teacher has contributed a lesson to the database, because we really see that the buy-in is there. They're doing this, they're practicing this, they're developing resources for one another, and contributing to our collective capacities to support ourselves and teachers with this teaching method going forward. And as I mentioned before, that's available both in English and French. Notable outreach. This is a fun benefit of this work, is the opportunity to speak and to present and to play in some cases with folks all across the board. So the gold dots are actually a little bit hard to see, but we'll just take a little world tour. So again, strong connection to Norway, that continues. Have strong connections to the Western Norwegian University of Applied Sciences. They still support this work, which is exciting. And they're kind of the nexus in Northern Europe for the development of this teaching practice across Western Europe. That's exciting. If you look at the little dot here in Nova Scotia, within the last year, I've had quite a few opportunities to present with Mi'kmaq Education, Health, and Sport Symposiums, which is very exciting, and looking at really getting to do the work of providing training to teachers within the MK education system across Nova Scotia and Mi'kmaq. I've been able to work with the executives of the NSTU, so there's 22 teaching associations, and we've been able to sit and work together and learn about ASK as a viable teaching method to increase the quality of life for teachers across the province as well as the students that they teach. So that's wonderful. And then if you look over, you can see the United Arab Emirates is on the map, as well as China. So the Nova Scotia Department of Education has an international school program in which administrators from Nova Scotia are actually teaching and running schools in those countries. ASK came to their attention. I can't even really recall how, but I was asked to come and present to those administrators to see if there was a way that we could work together to increase movement for students in their schools. And so that was an online presentation that happened this spring. They've asked me to come back and provide training to the schools. We don't know how that's going to work yet, but that's exciting, because I don't know if you knew this, but in China, a student's school day starts at 7 a.m. and it ends at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, so we could do better for them. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah, yeah. And finally, we have Alberta on the map in about a week and a half. I'm headed off to Banff to present ASK on behalf of Modal and the province to a large national outdoor learning conference. It's going to be an exciting opportunity. The whole conference is happening outdoors, so fingers crossed the weather is reasonable. But it's going to be a neat opportunity to showcase this work that's happening across Nova Scotia on the national stage. And finally, I'll just end with one quick reflection from a teacher. Because what this really stands out to me is teachers are understanding that this is a teaching method that works across all disciplines, all subject areas, and has an impact whether you're a young student like the students in the pictures or you're an older student like the high schools that we're starting to work with. Since incorporating these activities into multiple subject areas, I've seen many improvements. I did not anticipate the number of skills students would learn during ASK activities. Students have been learning skills in content material, communication, strategizing, teamwork, problem solving. My students are always eager to participate, and I feel it is something they can all be engaged with and have success with. I highly recommend these activities to all teachers of any age and any subject area. And that's the end of me talking. I'm happy to take any questions.
Do we have any questions? Comments? Councillor Hazel?
I love this program so much. Like, I often think about that training session for us. Well, I mean, I guess it was impactful because it was early days for some of us as counselors, but that activity was so fun, and it was a team-building experience, and I think we all took skills away from that. I love everything about this program, and I think that there is something really important for us. You know, we talk around this table about how we give so much of our budget to the education department and we have no say in anything to do with it. Well, this is an area where we do. And for that reason, I think it's really engaging and exciting. And so my only question is, which are the schools that this is happening in the municipality, and how can we make it happen in all the schools?
Okay. So, thank you. The schools that we worked with here in Modal are Petite, Riviera, Pence, Hebville Academy, both the elementary and the junior high, Newcombville, West Northfield, New Germany Rural High School, New Germany Elementary. as well as the CSAP school right across the street. We've also worked with Blue Nose Academy in Bayview, which, while they're situated in different municipalities, they serve students who live within the municipality. So according to my research, that's everyone with the exception of Tancook. Yep. So we can check that box.
Yeah, excellent. I'm going to use your words when I say it's feasible, desirable, and super fun. And I'm asking myself where this was when I went to school because I, too, think that I love this program, and I want to thank you for your dedication.
Thank you.
Excellent.
It's my honor to be dedicated to this, really.
Councillor Vino?
I definitely echo what my fellow councillors have said. I don't know what the data is, but my son, who's in grade 6, he likes going to school on Tuesday and Friday because that's gym day, yeah. Which doesn't seem like a lot of days to have gym. So I'm really glad to see that Blue Nose is taking part in this, and I'm going to ask him tonight about this program because he is a student that likes to get up and move and be active, and 2 days a week doesn't seem like enough. And he's just at that, you know, grade 6 is just at that age before you. It seems like you have less and less as you get older, so it's great to see this program get kids moving and learning at the same time.
Mayor Belvergetson?
I guess thank you, Britt. And I guess 5 years ago when this started, it definitely was a little seed. But what it's grown into is just remarkable to see, and worldwide. And those partnerships with the overseas schools as well, to see you branching out into those. I guess one of the things that I would like to see, we've been a leader in this, in MODL. And when I look at the straight that currently Straight RCE that is has implemented it across their board. Have you presented to South Shore RCE from a perspective of trying to get it into all the schools that way, or even provincially with the 7 RCEs?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I had a meeting last week where we're looking at, I am often in front of the administrators' meetings, so principals' meetings when they come together, as a reminder that this is an opportunity for students, our teachers in their schools. We've always taken a ground-up approach, and we're finding that it works because we attract the schools and the people who want to be there. And we know implementation is stronger if it's something that aligns with your values, the way you understand your school, that sort of thing. But we are looking now, and that's been the approach we've taken with the South Shore Regional Center for Education this whole time. But there, actually, it's funny that you asked that because last week we're starting to have that conversation about, can we use the model of the straight as a kind of, use it as a model to tell other RCEs that this thing can work when we actually align it with our system improvement plans and take more of a top-down approach to supporting the implementation of that. Because what I would like to see, we have worked with all the schools in the municipality, with the exception of Tancook, is we want to come back to those schools, provide refresher courses, gather up more staff, and engage more staff in this. Because in some cases, in these schools, it was interested staff members only, not a whole staff training approach. So we still have opportunity to continue this work and to provide more training and support for teachers within the South Shore Regional Center for Education and MODL in particular. And we are actually working towards that. What would this look like if the South Shore Regional Center for Education implemented this with a perspective of system improvement planning in mind? So we're going to see where that goes. That's very much a developing occurrence right now. Thank you. Yep.
Councillor Greek?
Thank you. I love the idea of going into the universities to hit up our future teachers, and it's just part of their training. It will be cool when you start to have the students who did the program growing up that's learning as they grow. Actually, the last time I saw you, it was really neat. You came to the school advisory council PD day. So any schools in our region who were at that received training, the SAC volunteers from Britt, which was really awesome. I just wanted everyone to know that she's hitting up SACs too for our schools.
Yeah.
There is, absolutely. One of my visions with the BED student program is that one day those folks are going to be graduating. This becomes a feasible teaching practice that they've got in their toolkit or their back pocket, and they're going out into regional centers that actually support this, right? So we need supportive environments for this practice to come to life, and we are seeing it happen. Again, I mentioned time when we look back at that little seed and how it's growing. Everything having time to grow is working. So the fact that we can train more and more folks every year, and they're going out and they're creating these teaching positions in which action and physical activity is a part of what they're doing, it's growing and growing and growing. So that's exciting. And the SAC work, again, there's strong alignment between the work of the SACs and, you know, providing an opportunity for students to move more within the school day. And on that note, just thinking about, you know, advocacy on the part of folks here, if you're, you know, if there's a school in your district or that you're close to and you would like to see more work happening with staff there, on the website, on the landing page, you can go and click on the welcome form button and you can fill that in, and that comes to my coordinator and it advises us that, oh, somebody connected with the school is interested in having more training done with staff, and it kind of starts the process of us working with the schools. So again, you know, we all have the power to make this happen within the schools, and that's one of the avenues that you have. You could also just email me and say, hey, Britt, what's happening at do-do-do-do, name the school, and we can start that process of checking in there as well. So there's lots that we can all do to make this happen.
Excellent. Do we have any more comments, questions? Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your time.
Okay, so we are going to move down to in camera. A motion to go in camera, please.
The directors can stay for this one.
Okay, the directors can stay for this. Motion to go, pardon me, Mayor Bellavergetson, second. Councillor Vino, all those in favor? Wonderful.